You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. Looking ahead to the action coming up on Tuesday, the 5th of November. And it's live on Racing Radio, of course, throughout the day. It's 12:40 start on Tuesday. You can join Darren Owen, John O'Connell and Dale Gibson for coverage of all the day's action, including the Holden Gold Cup, of course, at Exeter. And we're also at Fairy House at Southall in the afternoon. We've got Kempton to look forward to in the evening. My name's John Kibbe, on the podcast alongside Lord John Budden. Hello, John. How are you?
Hello, Don. I'm very well indeed, actually. And delighted to be here.
Fantastic. Great to have you with us on the podcast once again. We're going to start off by having a look at the questions in the Monday jury in the Racing Post. We do this every week on the Tuesday Racing Podcast. I see that the people that they've asked this week include our very own Andrew Thornton as well. So we'll see how your answers stack up against Andrew's there, John. We're going to start off by focusing in on the jumpers. Of course, the jump season really getting going with the action at Weatherby over the weekend and over in Ireland as well. And the first question is about Envoy Allen. Just how far can it go over hurdles?
Well, I think he can go a pretty long way. John and Andy Thornton would consider that's likely to be the case as well, moving up, I think, to graded company next time. I think Gordon Elliott thinks a great deal of the horse, and he certainly did everything right at Down Royal last Saturday. Didn't perhaps have to do an enormous amount, but showed a professional sort of attitude. And one of the people on the jury, John, is Keith Donoghue, who actually rides the horse at work. And he is really very, very keen about Envoy Allen. Says that he's a wonderful animal at home to ride, that he can do everything right. He's a natural, whether it's walking, trotting, or even at top speed. He's a wonderful performer. And he thinks that the horse will go a very long way. And I reckon that, you know, his opinion has to be respected. So, yes, I think this is a hurdling prospect of a real interest.
Well, let's switch from the hurdlers now to the novice chasers. And we've seen quite a lot of horses make their chasing debut over the past week or so, John. In my opinion, it looks like it could be quite a strong division this year. Who's impressed you the most?
Well, funnily enough, I agree with Andy Thornton here. there have been a number of sort of top-class novice chasers, either in action or just about to go into action. But two horses who impressed me in that category over the past fortnight, anyhow. Well, first of all, Windsor Avenue. Now, Brian Ellison has been in tremendous form, as we know, and he told the cameras after Windsor Avenue had won at Sedgefield, you might say Sedgefield, but nevertheless had won in great style, that he had hardly been able to sleep the night before. He was so excited with Windsor Avenue making his chasing debut. Now, this was a decent horse, a dual-purpose animal, and he really did jump extremely well over the fences in that novice chase at Sedgefield, so he could go quite a long way. And I have been following, as obviously a sort of Cumbrian enthusiast, Nicky Richards's yard. And 2 years ago, he had a really decent young horse called Chapel Style, who won three novice hurdles in succession and then injured himself when winning the last at Ayr on Scottish National Day. Didn't run at all last year, but has come back into training. And Nicky thinks he's going to make a really good novice chaser this autumn. And he ran remarkably well at Carlisle on Sunday. He eventually came through to finish third, first time out at about 22-1. And I think that was a really good start.
Okay, well, speaking of chases, the next question on the Monday jury is who do you think is currently top of the three-mile chasing division? It was quite a muddled picture, really, coming into this season. And with the action we've seen over the weekend at Down Royal and Weatherby, of course, with the Charlie Hall, Has that come any clearer, do you think, John?
Well, perhaps clearer. It certainly produced some really good performers. I thought Clan des Orbeaux was absolutely splendid at Darn Royal. Always needs the first race and ran extremely well, jumped well. It may conceivably be better the other way round, but I thought he made a very good debut for the season, and I will imagine Paul Nicholls is very pleased with him. The outstanding two over the weekend for me, though, were Vindication. Mm. Now, I've always loved Vindication, and Kim Bailey, I think, has two, and he just lost his form a little bit towards the end of last season, but he had a breathing operation during the summer. Oh, my goodness me, he was sensational, I thought, at Ascot when winning the Sodexo Gold Cup. Jumped like a stag and stayed on really strong. He got a tremendous leap at the last to David Bass and, you know, motored away up the run-in. And I think he could be, you know, a really decent three-mile chaser this year. So Vindication would be my first choice. I did think of Carlisle. Admittedly, it was in the Colin Parker Memorial, which was over 2.5. But I thought Lost in Translation was outstanding in his jumping. You know, he really did stand off and give an exhibition of jumping at Carlisle. And he simply motored away, rather like Vindication, up the run in. And I would have thought would stay 3 miles. And, you know, Colin Tizard's talking about Gold Cup, isn't he? And that sort of thing. Well, if he's talking about Gold Cup, Lost in Translation must say the 3 miles really well. And his jumping is excellent. So those would be my two, Vindication and Lost in Translation.
OK, well, speaking about the action at Ascot over the weekend, of course, there were a couple, in fact, of quite surprising incidents, really. And one of them was the steward inquiry that had to be held after Diego de Charmel basically tried to run out in the closing stages of one of the races, went through the wings, has taken out Capelin with him, who was disqualified. Diego de Charmel has kept the race. Do you think that was the right decision, John?
Yes, it was a very difficult decision for the stewards to make. I think basically it was right. The crux of the situation, well, I suppose there are two points to make about the crux of the situation. First of all, how did it occur in the original instance? Well, the leader and the eventual winner, as judged by the stewards, just veered across the course. There was nothing the jockey could do about it. It wasn't as though he was riding carelessly. It was a sudden veer, and that took the second Paul Brane Frost and stablemate, you know, out of it. Now, the question was, the real crux was, did the leader jump that last fence or not?
Yeah.
Now, I think the stewards were correct. They ruled, in fact, that the wing is outside the fence. But that after a lot of sort of looking at cameras, no doubt, from all angles, they did consider that the leader had jumped, well, the edge of the fence.
Mm. It was very, very tight, whatever way, wasn't it?
Yes, and yeah, I think they must have got sort of fairly good close-ups about that. And as long as he hadn't jumped outside the main part of the birch, then he was, in fact, judged to have jumped the fence. And I think that's a perfectly good decision. Very unfortunate on Bryony Frost, because it wasn't her fault at all. But she had to be, or the horse had to be disqualified, because, of course, was outside the fence and therefore, you know, had not completed the course.
Well, that was the action at Ascot on Saturday. Plenty of drama, including in that listed handicap chase. Diego de Charmel, though, did keep the race and the winner, and when you take that out of it, quite a nice performance as well. Speaking more generally now, John, give us one horse to follow for the season. I'm going to assume National Hunt season. It doesn't actually sort of make that clear in the question, but rather than anything else, who are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, I'm looking for a horse who, in fact, finished second to Vindication in the only novice chase that he ran last year. He's a horse called Uncle Alistair, and he is owned by Paul and Claire Rooney, and he'd got some really decent form over hurdles for Greystoke trainer Nicky Richards. And this race I'm talking about was at Carlisle. the first novice chase for either of the horses, in fact, and Uncle Alistair made one bad mistake down the far side, but my goodness, he came again and was only just beaten by Vindication on the run in. But that mistake had left him with a leg injury, nothing too serious, but because they thought Uncle Alistair was an absolute top-class recruit, missed the rest of last season. But I gather that he's right back in training now and will reappear in decent novice chases around about November time. Well, we're in November now, so late November, early December, and I'm hoping that Uncle Alistair will prove to be a real top northern novice chaser.
And finally, asking about the action that actually is taking place overnight in Australia, the Melbourne Cup. Are you a Melbourne Cup follower, John? You're a fan of the race?
Yes, I am quite a fan of the race. I do think, John, in the whole, it's a sort of cavalry charge where, you know, anything goes.
Yeah.
There's normally a maximum field. And because the Australian jockeys, anyhow, are so keen to win it, as well as the trainers, you know, it's a do-or-die effort. Mm. And it's a remarkably tough race to run in. And I am interested in it. Not quite so much this year, but like Andy Thornton on the jury, I would like to see Prince of Arran run really well for Charlie Fellows. And there's no reason why he shouldn't. He is apparently quite well drawn, drawn an eight, and you don't want to be right on the wing in the Melbourne Cup. Otherwise, you really are in trouble. And so eight's perfectly sound in a big field and has got form, of course, in the race before. So I hope Prince of Arran will go well.
Okay, well, that was the Monday jury. Those questions, of course, asked by the Racing Post that we've put to our pundit. And we're going to take a look at your selections for Tuesday's racing, John. As usual, you've got two races that you've got a fancy in. They're both at Exeter. They're both back-to-back. Let's start off by looking at the feature race of the day, the Holden Gold Cup. That Grade 2, of course, a limited handicap chase over, well, just shy of 2.25 miles. And we've got a field of six runners declared this year. A little bit disappointing. We're not going to see Waiting Patiently, who spoke badly on Monday morning and so wasn't declared for the race. But we've still got some very nice horses, and God's Own, of course, looking to win the race for a third time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You're thinking about Waiting Patiently. He is incredibly well named, isn't he?
Yeah.
In a rather sort of appropriate manner. Ruth Jefferson, of course, training Waiting Patiently. I mentioned that simply because Ruth's father, Malcolm, who unfortunately no longer with us, he was head lad at Greystoke for many years, and Gordon Richards, the late Gordon Richards, said that he'd never take a horse back to the West Country until he was really certain he'd got a star. And he was born, of course, in the West Country. Gordon Richards, very much a Devon man. And he took Noddy's Ride, in fact, for the Holden Gold Cup down in the early 80s with Neil Doughty in the saddle. A really good horse who finished second in a tremendous race in the Cheltenham Festival early that year. And in the Holden Gold Cup was clearly going to win and then stumbled on landing over the last fence and suffered a fatal injury.
So,
you know, it's a race I always remember for that unfortunate reason, really. However, six runners only, but it's a very tricky race, John. Oh, my goodness me. Janica is the one at the top, and Janica's got every reason to go pretty well. Ran fourth in the Topham and was an excellent runner in the Cheltenham Festival and other big handicaps last year. My only slight worry about Janica is that he is trained by Nicky Henderson. Now, normally that would be a tremendous bonus, but I do get the impression at this very moment that Nicky's horses do need their first run of the season. So it is possible that Janica comes into that category. God's Own comes next. Now, every reason for God's Own to go really well. I mean, Tom George's horses have been in great shape over the last 10 days. And God's Own, as you pointed out, has won this race twice before, goes well when fresh. And Paddy Brennan, I think, is in the saddle. He always gets on well with God's Own. So a real number, there's no question that God's Own could go extremely well when fresh. Dolos is now on the list. Paul Nichols. Disappointment, I remember, when I think he ran in the Colin Parker Memorial Chase last year and he didn't win it.
But yeah, beating the odds on.
Yes. And he did, in fact, disappoint on several occasions. But Paul is pretty keen on Dolos's chances and points out that he won at Kempton really well in the early part of the, late spring, early summer. And he just fears that Dolos is, you know, in the handicapper's grip, perhaps, in normal handicap chases. But he's targeted this horse at the Holden Gold Cup from the middle of the summer. So he's obviously got to be seriously respected, as is Charbel, who represents Kim Bailey. A little bit disappointing in the latter part of last season, Charbel, but his breathing apparently wasn't good, and Kim Bailey had him operated on, wind operation, was well beat first time out this season, but is thought to be on the way back, and the stable are in really great form. We've got one other in the race, which is, of course, Laylaw. And I left that to the last because Kaylee Wanacott trains this, and Laylaw was a very good winner first time out last autumn at Cheltenham, and Richard Johnson in the saddle, Richard Johnson again today. But a bit like Charbel, lost a certain amount of form later in the year. Will Laylaw come back? First time out, really good. Fascinating race. I think I'll go with Dolos as the choice.
Dolos, the selection then for John in this year's Holden Gold Cup. And we've got half an hour later, novice chase over 3 miles and a field of five runners declared for this one, with some of the top stables represented, John.
Yes, a small field, but an interesting one. We start with Boyhood, who is Tom George, and as we pointed out in the Holden Gold Cup, that the George horses are running really well. Boyhood has run and finished sixth in the novice chase at Cheltenham last time out. So it could go pretty well. I like Paddle Your Own Canoe. I get the impression that Colin Tizard's horses are just beginning now to come to real peak form. I thought Elegant Escape ran remarkably well in the Charlie Hall on Saturday, despite making mistakes, finished really strongly, and, lost in translation, was excellent in the Colin Parker at Carlisle. So I think Paddle Your Own Canoe, who has got, you know, quite a bit of past form, is a very serious contender for this particular race, and it does strike me that Colin Tizard is, you know, a trainer to follow, merely doing the coming 3 weeks or months right the way through the season. Similarly, Kim Bailey's horse is in great shape, and I like Commodore Barry in this contest. Commodore Barry won 4 times over hurdles last season. I was then given the outing over fences in which Kim Bailey expected him to win. It was at Ayr in early May, and in fact, Commodore Barry was not victorious in that race, but ran well and was only narrowly beaten, and I think he's got, a real chance in this race. The last two, I'm here, the point-to-point winner, and Virginia Chick has got a bit of form over hurdles. But I think it's the first three who are really the main performers in this contest. Paddle Your Own Canoe will be very hard to beat, but I'm going to go with Kim Bailey, Commodore Barry.
Commodore Barry in the 2:48 Exeter then for John. It's live on Racing Radio in addition to the rest of the day's action. Ferryhouse, Southall and Kempton are the other tracks. Join us from 12:40 p.m. for the day's racing. And you can listen online via the William Hill app. Of course, you can join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And John, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you, John. Lovely to be here.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.